a little late, but you have to wait for the good things in life. And I don't mean this show. I mean finding out the resolution of Beb Watch, Cock Watch, whatever you want to call it. Just before we came on the air here, and Nick Kotsenek is going to join us in a second to give us all the perspective from Detroit, Mike Babcock is the next coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let that roll around your mouth like a rotten olive for a little bit. Mike Babcock is coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet first out of the box with the news as everybody followed the story today. 8-year contract for Babcock. Salary above $50 million in total. $8 million per year in the first 3 years of the deal, courtesy of Bob McKenzie, which is nice to have if maybe you think things could go sideways quick in Toronto, which they often do. No, but 8 years is a hell of a commitment, and one assumes that there's going to be some front office component between Babcock and Brendan Shanahan. Elliot made mention of the fact that there was maybe even talk of Shanahan becoming the general manager, working with Babcock in concert. Babcock and Shanahan will have a press conference 11 a.m. tomorrow to announce this deal, and I'm sure we'll find out more about the ins and outs of the relationship then. But listen, man, it is a shock of all shocks. It was going to be one of three things for Babs, or maybe a combination of three things. It was going to be a place where he would go to make a just F ton of money. Scrooge McDuck swimming through the money bin levels of money. It might have been a place where he goes where he could feel some level of comfort. It would be a place where he would go where he could win now, which is something that Babcock talked about, the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. It would be a place where he would go where he would, and this is the theory for a lot of us, be able to be meeting a challenge that had never been met before. Come on, let's be honest here. He did everything he needed to accomplish in Detroit. He won a cup, two conference titles, kept the playoff streak going. But it was going to be the law of diminishing returns. At some point, the streak was going to end. And at some point, Babcock was going to have to stand back and say, okay, the reinforcements that we have are not nearly on the level of the players that I coached the cup. Now what? So the thought was that it's going to be Buffalo. And Buffalo was obviously the clubhouse leader entering into Wednesday's decision day. The Terry Pegula millions and billions, the relationship with Tim Murray, the GM, Jack Eichel coming in this summer, expectations below the ground floor. I mean, Babcock could coach there for 10 years. Melindy Ruff coached there for like 80 years, you know? And it wouldn't have been any problem. Like the expectations are just be competent. That's the expectation in Buffalo. And make a F ton of money from Terry Pegula. So he doesn't choose Buffalo. He announces he's, you know, through back channels, he's not coming back to Detroit. St. Louis was told 2 days ago they're not going to be it, and I don't think he would want to replace Hitchcock. And San Jose was interviewing Adam Oates, so he obviously isn't going there, and replacing McClellan there was going to be awkward for him anyway. Musical chairs, ladies and gentlemen. We were down like one chair, the blue one. And there he goes to Toronto. He meets the ultimate challenge. Let's just dial it back. Think about the fact that, you know, winning a cup in Buffalo would be amazing, but you are dealing with so much more pressure, so much more expectation. You are a god in Canada already with two gold medals around your neck, and now you're going to Toronto to be the guy who is going to bring the cup to Toronto. Do you know how long the Leafs have waited for the guy who's going to bring the cup to Toronto to actually sign on the dotted line? I made a joke earlier today about how the Leafs were just the stalking horse, how he was going to basically use their offer to leverage Pegula, and I believed it because that's what happens all the time for the Leafs. They never get this guy. They get the guy who flirts with them, but they never get the guy who closes the deal because he always is using them to get the better deal somewhere else. So he doesn't have to deal with all the BS in Toronto. But he's going to dive into the BS head first. He's going to swim in it. The BS pile that's the size of the Triceratops pile that Laura Dern fished through in Jurassic Park, he's going to dive right in with scuba gear and try to win in Toronto. Nick Kotsenek, who, by the way, I love and mourn. I don't even know what to say, considering these are proper channels, but he knows how I feel about him. Nick, still of Yahoo Sports for the moment, but please, if you need a Nick Kotsenek, reach out to Nick. Today is a crazy day. did you ever think it would play out like this with Babcock going to Toronto?
Not in recent days, but leading up to this, I always thought it was Detroit or Toronto. I think the Red Wings always thought that. In the middle of the playoffs when the Wings were still alive, I talked to a member of the Wings organization who told me he thought Babcock was going to Toronto for $30 million over 5 years, plus some money to, like, a sort of a signing bonus. I never reported that because I had other people telling me other things, so you never knew what was right or whose opinion it was, but it was always out there that he would do that. And, you know, here we are, reportedly $50 million over 8 years. You know, it's amazing. I mean, I think the money is by far the most we've ever seen for an NHL coach. If you, I don't know what his other front office duties are, or how you break it down, but I mean, that's more than double what the highest coaching salary was this year. You know, and they had to do that because he's not going to Toronto otherwise. You know, that's to win the war with the Sabres. That's the prime from the Wings. And it goes back to 2 years ago. Brendan Shanahan did not fire Randy Carlyle. He even gave him a 2-year extension. And the reason was he didn't want just the best coach available at that time. He wanted the best coach for the long term. There was no Babcock out there. There was no Ruff out there, no Julian, no guy that he really wanted to build an organization with. A year later, he got the big fish.
Yeah. Boy, did he ever, huh? It's unbelievable. What's the reaction locally to this from Detroit? I imagine that you know, you never like to be the one that gets rejected, but I imagine they feel like they've got a pretty soft safety net in Blashill in the AHL, and probably were thinking that they didn't want to pay Mike Babcock $8 million a year for the first 3 years of a contract anyway.
Yeah, I think that would be the ceiling here. I think leading up to it, there's a lot of mixed emotions because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want your guy leaving. You know, you never want to be, you know, rejected. But I think, you know, people look at this team and it hasn't really won in the playoffs recently. You know, and Mike, you know, look, if you can get that kind of deal elsewhere, best of luck to you. You know,
yeah.
You know, good luck to you. The Red Wings were here before Mike Babcock. They'll be here after Mike Babcock. They have Jeff Blashill, who's coached a lot of these guys, won a championship with them in the American League. This is, life will go on in Detroit. It's not the end of the world.
It won't be the end of the world. When you see him get this money and this term, and having known him in Detroit for a bit, why do you think he picked Toronto? Was it the money? Was it the challenge? Was it a combination of the two?
I mean, let's be real. The money is huge. You know, that's an offer you can't refuse. I think the money is important. I think it's been important all along. I don't care what Mike says. I think he proved that today. And I don't blame him. I mean, that's a lot of money. I'll take it. If anybody's offering that, I'm on the market. But I also think the challenge is attractive to him. I mean, he has a huge ego. He believes in himself. That's what makes him great. I think he looks at that and sees the reward long term. And if he can be the guy to turn around the Toronto Maple Leafs, he'll have a statue. You know, he'll leave a legacy, and that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. Now, my concern is how much personnel say does he have? It's not always a good thing with him. Will he have the patience? Because it's going to take some patience. If he does have the patience, he's got, like, the juice to get people to sort of buy into the rebuild. If he gets impatient and pushes for short-term stuff, it's going to be a disaster.
That's the thing that's so interesting about this, too. I mean, when we always talked about Buffalo and Detroit as being possibilities for him, the general consensus was, okay, you go to Buffalo, you have yourself a Jack Eichel, you've got yourself a Sam Reinhart, you've got yourself at least some pieces there that you say are going to be good down the line. They've got a nice little collection of young players in the system in Buffalo. Toronto ain't that. Toronto's a bit farther away, and you're right. I mean, you used the R word, you used the rebuild word. That's where they are, and I really didn't think that Mike Babcock was going to be in the that he wanted to dabble in that, to be honest with you. But, I mean, the money being what it is, I guess that was the determining factor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, if you like winning, that's not the place you go right now. Not in the short term, not even in the medium term. They don't have a number one center. They don't have a number one defenseman. I don't really see a lot on their horizon. I mean, they've got Kadri, they've got Riley, they've got Gardner, they've got some players, but they've got a lot of problems with that roster. And, you know, I didn't see that. But, look, the money is crazy. And it's Toronto. And, you know, I assume that he's talked to Brendan and he's talked to the rest of their group and feels comfortable with their plan, thinks that these are good people, and he's, you know, it's worth his while to try it.
Do you think, and thinking back to the beginning of our conversation here, do you think he was using Buffalo like everybody thought he was using Toronto, like having Pegula pump up his price in order to leverage a deal with Toronto, or do you think he would have gotten this money anyway?
It doesn't hurt, that's for sure. I don't think he's
using
that.
Right?
I mean, look, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know how to read Mike, and I'm being honest with you here. I don't think the people who know him well know how to read him, because they think either he was truly indecisive and didn't know, or he was extremely cunning in how he leveraged everybody against each other. Like, he needed the Red Wings. He needed the perception that he would return to Detroit to get other teams, you know, to bid against the Red Wings or to beat the Red Wings offer. He needed the perception that he would leave for other teams to bid against each other. You know, it's one of those, or it's some combination of the two. And, you know, I would believe he'd have serious interest in Buffalo. To me, Buffalo's a better option. You've got a singular owner, not a corporation. He's got a lot of money. He wants to win. You've got some young players. You've got Jack Eichel coming. The money is good.
It's a one newspaper town, even if that newspaper can be very critical of the team.
Yeah, and you've got a GM you worked with before. You know, it's amazing to me. You know what I mean? I don't know what their final offer was. You know, maybe we'll find out, you know, soon. But, you know, for a guy who says it's not about the money, it's about winning, well, you know, we'll see how good a coach you are.
And you're right, because essentially he sits down with Holland for that sit down with Dreger, and sometimes TSN has been known to be a megaphone for certain interested parties rather than being a journalistic venture at times. And then the AP reports that Buffalo is talking contract with Babcock on Tuesday, which I thought was odd that would come out the way it did. There was a lot of sort of weirdness that all led to there being speculation about this thing going one way, and then it went a completely different way, and you wonder how much of that was a snow job on the part of Camp Babcock. I don't put it past him. I think I'm in the he played this like a harp camp.
And here's something to add to that theory, okay? He comes out and says, I'm going to decide by the 20th. Why do you do that? Now you create a deadline for other people, right? And when he did that, I'm like, either somebody gave him a deadline to make a decision, or he's doing that to bring things to a head to make people bid against each other. That's the way I read that. And, like, you know, I don't know. You know, I've tried to take the guy on face value for a long time, but he's constantly made comments you can read into however you want, and then he gets angry when you read into him. And, you know what? Maybe he did play us all like a fiddle, and maybe he played the Red Wings, and maybe he played the Sabres. Who knows? But at the end of the day, he's getting paid, and we're going to find out how good a coach he is. If he's what he thinks he is, we're going to find out. And if he's not, we're going to find that out, too.
That really needs to be said, by the way. Let's tick down the accomplishments in this guy's career. J.S. Giguere led him to the Cup Final. He took over a team with Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Nick Lidstrom. You and I could have done a pretty good job there. And he coached two all-star teams to the gold medal. Now, granted, one of them was on Canadian ice, which is not an easy thing to do, but those teams are pretty okay. And I agree with you, man. Just like Ray Shiro gets knocked for not having built a team from the ground floor, we've not seen this guy take over a team that is a barren wasteland, a blank slate, a clean palette like the Leafs are at this point.
You know, and that's, you know, maybe I'm writing my column here. Like, now that I think about it, you know, like, No, seriously, we're going to find out. Like, you know, we're going to find out how great he is, because I do believe truly that he's the best coach in the National Hockey League. I don't think he's twice as good as every other coach in the National Hockey League, which is what he's being paid as. Now, you're worth what someone is willing to pay you, and the Leafs are in a position where they can and need to pay somebody to bring some credibility and to do this. So he got them right where they want him. But, you know, and there's a good argument to be made that coaches need to be paid more than they have been. I mean, like, even at that amount of money, like, in a cap league, like, you know, you can justify that salary. But I guess what I'm saying to you is he's the best coach in the NHL, but not by this large of a margin at all. And there's only so much he can do with this roster. So we're going to find out.
He's currently the third highest player on the team next year, behind Phaneuf and Kessel, as far as base salary goes. It's insane.
Yeah.
And it makes, and to speak to that, I mean, doesn't it make your head spin to think about how this would have been for Scotty Bowman, or how this would have been for Mike Keenan coming off the 94 Cup? Like,
if we
were in this age of media and social media, how crazy that would have been.
What's fascinating about this, though, you know, Scotty at points in his career, what made him a genius was what jobs he picked. Like, I might have my history wrong here a little bit, but I think he had a chance to go to the Golden Seals and chose the Canadiens for less money because he could win Stanley Cups. I know he had some opportunities, you know, at other points, and he slid into Pittsburgh, you know, under circumstances, but won a cup. He comes to Detroit, a good team, wins cups. Like, he's picked good jobs, right? And he also was in a non-capped era. Like, I can tell you for a fact, one of Babcock's colleagues told him, look, you can't pick your team. Like, it's a cap league. You can't just pick a team that has a great shot to win the cup. It doesn't work that way anymore. So, you know, like, he's going for money, and he's going for a challenge, and his ego is big enough to think he can win there. Well, we'll see. You know, we'll see, see if he's right.
Yeah. And I guess finally, you know, one of the first things that I thought of about this is that, you know, besides Babcock being one of the only free agents that actually chose Toronto, there is this notion that he is going to be a magnet for others to come there too. And that's always been a very tough thing for that organization, obviously, because of the market and because of everything else that goes along with it. Do you think that Babs is the type that is going to be able to not only attract players to come there, but also build a war cabinet of managers and assistant coaches as well?
I think so. And if anybody can do it, it's Mike under those circumstances, but it's Toronto, right? So, and I think that's why he's so valuable to the Maple Leafs, because he brings that possibility. But it is Toronto, and it is a messy situation there, and it's going to take time. So it's less of a slam dunk than maybe some other spots. But that is why, like, you can justify them doing what they've done. I mean, they print money. They've lost for a long time. He's more valuable to them than he is to the Detroit Red Wings, who have won for a quarter century and can plug in Jeff Blashill and have lots of young players. Like, they don't need Mike as much as Toronto does. That's the truth. You know, and that's why things played out the way they did. The Red Wings were not going to – there was a point they were going to go to, and then they weren't going to go any farther, and that wasn't because of money. It was principle. It's like, man, it's bigger than the program. We were here before you. We'll be here after you. We love you, but, you know, best wishes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there you go. Real quick before you go, 20 seconds. Should pucks that are headed in to the net count, a la Andrew Shaw last night?
Yes. To me,
I agree.
There's a safety issue with kicking, you know, because you don't want skate cuts. And we've talked about it, that at the GM meetings, but that's why they sort of tweaked the rule a little bit, or at least the interpretation of it. But to me, like, if you want to increase offense, let them bat the puck into the net. You know, short of throwing it in or dunking it or something like that, I see no reason why that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, and it comes down to a play that it required skill and coordination, which I believe are two of the hallmarks of the great game we all cover. So, at the end of the day, I agree with you. Exactly. All right. Thank you so much, man, for joining us on The Pinch. As you know, Merrick is a celebrity, and he's off to cover some minor league tournament in Quebec. I don't know where the hell it is. And Oh, wait, that's right. He's getting, I'm sorry, right. Merrick's kid is getting his tonsils out today, according to producer Maddie, and then he's going to the minor league tournament to go do his junior hockey thing. So anyways,
cool.
Thanks for popping in, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll talk.
The great Nick Kotsenik, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I think that's all to be said about Babcock. I agree with Nick. I think when you look back and comb through all the information and the leaks and the fact that a lot of this stuff was airtight until recently as we got closer to this deadline, and all of a sudden news comes out that he's talking to Buffalo, and some really, really, really smart hockey people that are connected to the Leafs like no others weren't even talking about the Leafs being involved. I mean, there's a lot we don't know, but I think there's a lot that was manipulated by Babcock in this situation to try to up his price. And the more I think about it, the more I think we were all wrong. And it wasn't Toronto with the pump. It was Terry Pegula holding the pump. And Terry, get ready for that to be your life, buddy. Then everybody knows you pay. The minute you give out those Ehrhoff and Ville Leano contracts, everybody knows you pay. And the minute they know you pay, everybody's going to be your best friend until July 1. And then lo and behold, they go sign somewhere else with your money as the base plus whatever the other team gave them. Get ready for that. A couple things before we go, and I apologize for the show being so truncated because I got to run and do some video stuff today on this Babcock stuff for Yahoo. And obviously, there was no point in doing a show until we figured out what the hell was going on with Babcock. No one wanted to hear us go, I don't know, it could be St. Louis. And then you listen to it tonight, and it's like it was never St. Louis. Real quick on a couple things. How do the dominoes fall elsewhere is a good question to ask. And, you know, I saw Joe Yurden, who knows the Sabres pretty well right now, being on that beat, talking about Luke Richardson, Dan Bylsma both being possibilities in Buffalo. And I think Bylsma would be an interesting call there if it doesn't wind up being that he is the connection with Chiarot. I get the sense that Bylsma is going to be back in the league next year. Buffalo, Jersey, St. Louis, if they move off of Hitchcock, although I don't think that they should now that Babcock's not going there. I don't know. Bylsma to me would be an interesting way to go in St. Louis. I should say not should. I said I don't think they will, because I think they should move off of Hitchcock, to be honest with you, because those teams can't win in the playoffs with them there. But Biles was going to have a chance to maybe coach this Buffalo team, and I think he'd be a very interesting choice if that's where they wanted to go. Although I think ultimately he's much better in a place like San Jose. It's a bit closer to contention, and obviously in St. Louis. San Jose's talking to Adam Oates, and it would not surprise me in the least to see him be the next coach of that team. Please do remember that he and Larry Robinson were the two assistant coaches on the Jersey team that went to the Cup Final and lost to the Kings with Pete DeBoer as the head coach. I'm imagining Larry Robinson could probably vouch for Adam Oates, which may or not be a good thing. I mean, as we know, he is a problematic coach when it comes to 5-on-5 hockey. Genius on the power play. Problematic 5-on-5. So we'll see what becomes of that. But it wouldn't surprise me at least to see him go there. And Blashill obviously goes to Detroit and has him over a barrel, too. Man, alive. Can you imagine the position that Jeff Blashill's in now? Babs leaves him high and dry. The entirety of the Red Wings fan base praising Allah that Blashill's still there. A couple things real quick on the series that are going on. Last night was by far one of the most entertaining three overtime games I've ever seen. I don't know about you. Up and down the ice, chances all over the place, well over 100 shot attempts and shots on goal and everything else. I don't know if it's a function of being game two in a series or what, but that was a hell of a hockey game. Just a hell of a hockey game. Posts, the header, which I agree with Nick should have counted. They got to amend that rule. Well, they're not going to amend the rule because it's like, you know, Haley's Comet. But I wish the rule read differently because that's a great play. And it's amazing to see how they celebrated, and it's amazing to see what the reaction was from other people in hockey on, like, Twitter. No one knew the rule. Everyone knows batting the puck in doesn't count. No one assumed that batting the puck in included heading the puck in. It was really fun to see. But the Blackhawks won a game. If the Blackhawks had lost that game, it was going to be a setback, but not the end of it, because they go back to Chicago, they get the last change, they can get the matchups they want. But you get the sense in this series that the shorter it goes, the better it's going to be for Chicago, because they cannot survive with the top four playing the minutes that they are for much longer. I mean, it is unbelievable the minutes that, like, Duncan Keith is logging in these playoffs. Just unbelievable. Anderson played well. Crawford played well. It was a hell of a hockey game. And now 1-1 in the series, and you get the sense this is going to be a war. You can see this thing easily going back to Anaheim 2-2. Tonight, Lightning and Rangers, fully expect a much better performance from New York tonight. They have the ability to bounce back like few others do. Elaine Vigneault is a master at making adjustments, and I'm sure he will. The Lightning will have a nice jolt, no pun intended, playing at home. They're going to be able to get some matchups that they want, being able to probably put the triplets out against the Boyle and Yandle pairing as much as possible. But I think the Rangers come back and win this game tonight, because I just, you know, they're a team that knows how to come back and win these games. Make the adjustments necessary, and furthermore, be a bit more disciplined. And I imagine that it's going to be a much different game than game two, as far as there being upwards of 12 minor penalties called, or power plays for both teams. Finally, Don Sweeney in Boston. Boy, it's been a busy-ass day. Don Sweeney in Boston is an indication that Cam Neely is running the show. Nothing more, nothing less. That is, you go internal with that job, you're basically saying, it's Cam Neely's team. And you are all serving at the pleasure of the president. What that organization needed when it fired Chiarelli was an audit. It needed someone to come in, like Ray Shiro, for example, or like George McPhee, for example. Someone who is going to come in and not have the relationships that Sweeney and Neely have with these players, and have a good understanding of what needs to be done, and take the scalpel out on that team. And furthermore, get them away from the idea of Bruins hockey. Now, Sweeney and Neely both talked about the idea of the team being better offensively, which doesn't speak well of the fate of Claude. But they also talked about a return to heavy hockey, which should have Bruins fans recoiling. So I don't know. Listening to Sweeney today as much as I could, because we're all following Babcock, it makes you a little bit wary about what this is going to end up being, and also who it ends up being, because it could end up being Bruce Cassidy. I know we could all learn from our foibles of youth. We could become better people and better coaches and better employees and everything else, but I still harken back to the fact that I rarely have seen a coach, maybe John McClane in Jersey that year, have I ever seen a coach more overwhelmed in a gig than Bruce Cassidy was. So maybe that changes over time. He's been in the AHL forever. But if I'm a Bruins fan, I like Sweeney. I think he's a smart dude, good hockey man. And maybe the flip side of the coin is that he and Neely have an understanding of this roster, know who should stay, know who should go better than anyone else does. That's the flip side. That's the sunny side. That's the half full side of things. I just don't necessarily think it's true. I think those guys had a hand in player personnel. They had a hand in the contracts that have been given out. They had a hand in building that roster. Who's going to have the stones to trade Zdeno Chara at the trade deadline next year? That's the real question. Because they'll have value, and it'll help somebody, and it may not be the Bruins. Busy-ass day. 11 o'clock tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen, for the Babs and Shanny show. No show tomorrow, I don't think. Maybe on Friday. And we'll go from there. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm happy we got one in today, though, because today was a pretty momentous news day. Short as it was. Nick Kotsunika, thank you so much for joining us. Producer Maddie, thanks for your flexibility today. And thanks for everybody else for tuning in. Drop us some lines if you want in the Puck Daddy email, puckdaddyblog@yahoo.com, or hashtag it. With MVSW, send it to us on Twitter as well. It's crazy stuff, man. And then, of course, there's the theory that Blashill might go to Buffalo. Wouldn't that be fun? Who knows? That's it. Video stuff to come tonight on all this fun. And thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye.